The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Welcome to Main Street Vegan, a lively hour with host Victoria Moran, best-selling author and the OG of vegan living for over 40 years. She and her guests have got the goods to help you look and feel amazing, make a difference for animals, and discover the soulful side of the vegan journey. Now, here's Victoria.
I did something today so out of character for a workaholic. I went to a movie during the week in broad daylight. It was Cabrini, the story of a humanitarian, the first American saint. And at one point in the film, she said, "You can either serve your weakness or you can serve your purpose." Wow. That said to me that every time I feel that there's something happening as the next indicated part of my purpose, and my response to it is, but I need more money, or I need more connections, or I need more Instagram followers. That's not serving the purpose. That's serving the weakness. And I don't want to do that. And I'll bet you don't either. And that's why I just love talking to purpose-driven, inspiring people who are making a real difference in the world. And I think you like to talk to them too, or you wouldn't be here. Hi, everybody. I'm Victoria Moran, and just so happy that you are listening to the Main Street Vegan podcast. I have two amazing people with me today, Dr. Neil Barnard. Oh, everybody knows Dr. Neil Barnard, but maybe you don't, so I will let you know about him, and also Shawnee Hayes. So let me just give you a little bit of a rundown on each guest. Dr. Barnard is an adjunct professor of medicine at George Washington University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Dr. Barnard has led numerous research studies investigating the effects of diet on diabetes, body weight, hormonal symptoms, chronic pain, and a groundbreaking study of dietary interventions in type 2 diabetes funded by the National Institutes of Health. And today we're going to be focusing on his brand new book that is going to give Ozempic a run for its money. And that book is Power Foods Diet. So why on earth was somebody that amazing? Do we have a second guest too? Well, because our second guest is the proof of the pudding. This is someone who has been living this life and has had so many extraordinary changes in her own health that Dr. Barnard himself recommended that she be part of this program. And I am so honored to have Shawnee Hayes with us today. Shawnee lives in Maryland, and she is maintaining a 100-pound weight loss, and she also reversed health conditions, including high cholesterol, hypertension, pre-diabetic diabetes, chronic arthritis, muscle fatigue, frequent heartburn. You know what? Being an American. And so, with great joy and all these healthy people to talk to today, welcome Dr. Barnard. Welcome, Shawnee. So, we'll start with you, Dr. B. You got a brand new book. And you have a whole bunch of them. So what was the inspiration for this?
Well, first of all, Victoria, it's wonderful to be with you again. And thanks for all the marvelous things that you've done to educate people and inspire them and to help them to change their lives. The reason for this book is that, first of all, many people are suffering with weight they don't want to have. And their doctor might be saying, it's time for you to really take this seriously. They already knew that. And they're doing things that might hurt them. By that, I mean, they're starving. They're intentionally eating 600 or 800 calories a day, or they're avoiding carbohydrates, which means no fruit, no bread, no pasta, no rice, no this, no that. And when they have trouble with it, or if it doesn't work out well, or they can't follow it, they tend not to blame the diet, they blame themselves. And so it's a troubling situation. But out of all of this sort of maladaptive approach to it, some really good things have happened, which is there's been a switch, first of all, to understanding that diet patterns matter more. If you're on a healthy, say a plant-based pattern, you're more likely to lose weight. But then, in addition to that, we've discovered that certain foods actually seem to stimulate weight loss. They either tackle your appetite or they boost your metabolism or other things, meaning you can throw out that food scale. You can stop counting calories. You can stop doing these things and let the foods do the work for you. I got excited about it. And so the whole idea is, instead of thinking all the things you cannot do, we're going to think about the things that you can bring into your life that are really fun and tasty and are going to make your life simpler.
Oh, I love that. Well, since you said there were some of these foods, you got to give us one, and then we'll bring Shanae into the conversation. Tell us a fabulous weight losing, health promoting, can't live without it food, and why?
Let me give you a couple things just real quick that, because they fit together. Harvard researchers back in 2015 published an amazing study. It was the Harvard team, Walter Willett and his folks up there who have done brilliant work. They were studying more than 100,000 people. They found that the more they ate of certain specific foods, the more weight they lost. In other words, you're eating a certain amount of this or that. If you up your intake, you're going to lose more weight. And of all the foods they found that was associated with weight loss was this humble, unassuming blueberry. And along with the blueberry's cousins, like raspberries and strawberries and others, the more people ate of them, the more weight they lost. And right on the heels of that, researchers were thinking, aha, I think we know why. What makes it blue are these compounds called anthocyanins, which are antioxidants. Researchers in the UK did a twin study that showed that the more one twin would eat anthocyanins, the more the lower their body weight, the less they had body fat and specifically abdominal fat way down. So people have figured out why. Anyway, so, okay, blueberries look good. But then from the other direction, researchers have looked at spices. They've looked at ginger. They've looked at hot peppers. They've looked at cinnamon. And cinnamon contains a compound called, it's an aldehyde. It's natural in the cinnamon. It's not a chemical. It's part of the cinnamon. In your digestive tract, it triggers the release of a little tiny bit of adrenaline so that your metabolism ramps up and you're burning calories faster. So what is the one food I'm going to tell people to eat? It's French toast. Yes, how can you lose weight with French toast? Here's how you do it. I worked with Dustin Harder, who is a great recipe developer, and he made a blueberry syrup. And Lindsay S. Nixon, who also did the other half of the recipes in this book, brilliant recipe developer, made cinnamon French toast. This is not your mother's French toast dripping in butter and eggs and all this stuff. It's light. It's very tasty. But what are we doing? We're taking two power foods, the berries, the cinnamon, putting it all together. And instead of feeling punished by a difficult diet, you're thinking, this is coolest medicine. This is going to really be great. And so there are more than 120 recipes like that, that people can really have fun with. And they all have the power foods built in.
Wow. So just a question for the people who maybe are trying to build muscle and put on lean body mass, should they not be eating blueberries and cinnamon?
Oh, well, first of all, if a person is trying to gain weight, you're the envy of everyone else who is listening, because everyone else is trying to get the weight off. But no, you should definitely be having blueberries and having cinnamon. You should have these be part of your routine. Now, you don't have to do the way the research participants did if you don't want to. The cinnamon studies use typically about a teaspoon. And a teaspoon of cinnamon added over 12 to 16 weeks would, in these studies that we've seen, knock off 7 or 8 pounds. You may not need to do that. And you don't have to overdo it. You can put cinnamon on your toast and your oatmeal, but use the other power foods too. But if you're looking for protein, you're going to get plenty of protein in the power foods. There's more than enough.
Wonderful. So let's bring on Shanae, and especially after the cinnamon conversation, because Shanae, I know you have a special interest in spices as well. So give us a little bit of your spicy story.
I'm here to spice up life, right? Well, where would I even, where do you want me to start from the beginning, Victoria? Because I definitely can start there.
Just tell us why, with all the diets out there, and, you know, I too have a weight history. I left behind 60 pounds 40 years ago. But even then, there were enough diets to keep you busy for three lifetimes. So how did you happen on to the whole food plant-based? So start us from there.
Sure. So I would just quickly say that, you know, I am someone, as you mentioned, I've dieted since I was an adolescent. So yes, over the years, I've tried many, many things from, you know, counting calories, restricting, you know, foods, and then, you know, weighing my foods. And you already talked about the chronic health problems I was dealing with. But I would say that, you know, it was a health scare that kind of led me down this path. And then also working with a health coach who was very well versed in just, you know, what healthy eating really could look like for me. And so she kind of started to introduce me to more of these like power foods. When we're talking the fruits, the vegetables, the whole grains, you know, the beans and legumes. And so it was very much through this, you know, very kind of natural approach of working with this person that I was able to like discover these foods, but also discover them and enjoy them in a way that I never would have imagined. Like Dr. Barnard talked about, you know, cinnamon or French toast and, you know, things of that nature, blueberry sauce. Like, you're telling me that I can have the foods that I really do enjoy, but have them in a way that's healthier. And so that's what got my mind going in terms of, let me look more into this whole food plant-based lifestyle and just what the possibilities are. Because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, just a salad. But no, it's bigger than that. It's far beyond just having a salad. And I really just started to experiment and play around with food and flavors. And as you mentioned, spices. Yes, I love spices and, you know, I have my own spice line. But the more that I learned about the great health benefits of these power foods, the more that I wanted to enjoy them and incorporate them, you know, into my lifestyle.
So what's your favorite spice?
Oh, gosh, my favorite spice. I would say cinnamon's on the list. And I honestly mean that because every morning I'm having blueberries and cinnamon in my steel cut oats. I would say ginger is another one. I do love ginger when I'm making soups and stews. And I love putting it with lentils. It's great for, you know, just kind of flavoring that. Also, when I'm making dressings, depending on, you know, the type of dressing. And I love curry as well. That's another one of my favorite spices. So I know you asked for one, but it's hard to pick.
Well, yeah, with spices, it's very hard to pick because there's so many great ones. So, Dr. Barnard, let's just get to the very basics of what is a power food?
Okay, there are really three different characteristics. One is that they can help tame your appetite. And we did a study more than 20 years ago where we brought in women. They were all after the age of menopause, 64 women. And they had all done Atkins, South Beach, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, da-da-da-da-da. They all felt kind of stuck. And we randomly assigned them to either a plant-based diet or a control diet. And what we found is that although they thought they were eating the same amount of food as before, they were allowed to eat until they were totally full. We measured it, and they were actually eating about 200 calories less than before, maybe as much as 300 calories less than before. So the question is why? And it's because the foods they were eating were high in fiber and high in complex carbohydrates, which happen to be fairly low-calorie foods. So they're taming your appetite, but they do something else. If you pick the right ones, they trigger the release of GLP-1 in your digestive tract, which is what Wegovy is sold for. But the foods do it naturally, and that turns down your appetite. So the first
drug that you just named?
Yeah, Wegovy is Wegovy and Ozempic are these drugs that are all in the news nowadays, that if you inject this once a week, you're going to lose a lot of weight. And what I'm suggesting is that foods effectively have the same effect if you pick them the right way. So anyway, what's a super a power food? It's something that either tames your appetite and or traps calories in your digestive tract so that you can't absorb them. So the calories are there, but they're carried out with the waste. Foods will do that. And third is that some of them increase your metabolism. Cinnamon's in that category, but there are other things that are in that category too.
Well, I feel like I have been living it for 40 years and seeing it work in my life. And I love that you've written this book that really lays out what's been happening. Because sometimes, honestly, I felt almost embarrassed. It's like I had a whole history of 30 years of compulsive overeating and obesity and overweight and all that. And it's almost embarrassing that it's so easy. Do you ever feel that, Shanae?
Absolutely. When I look at the over 30 years that I had this yo-yo dieting that I was doing, I'm like, why did it take me so long to discover this? And yeah, I'm with you, Victoria. I'm like, I didn't understand why it took me so long to discover it. The answer was there all along, but yeah, just did not have a clue.
So with the power foods, Dr. Barnard, you mentioned that there are some foods that people eat that they really think are going to be good for them, and they're the absolute opposite. So I wanted to talk about a couple of these. I want to go first with coconut oil. I mean, come on, it's a plant product, but it's a plant product with problems. Tell us about that.
I'm going to break your heart on this one. Coconut oil is not health food. Coconut oil, it is a plant. It comes from a fruit, the coconut, but it is so high in saturated fat. And that's true with the coconut milk. Go to the store, look at turn the carton around, look at the label. It is so high in saturated fat. That's the one that raises cholesterol, and it's linked to Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, use it in your hair, shine your shoes with coconut oil if you want, wax your car with it. I would not eat it. And the same with palm oil. These things are really heavily marketed. I mean, they're putting palm oil into your peanut butter nowadays. I mean, weren't the peanuts enough? But no, skip them because they are really dense in calories and they're high in saturated fat.
So when people get on these kicks, like coconut oil being a health food and it has a low smoke point and all that, I mean, for me with coconut oil, I was getting so much flack. Everybody was like, you're being a fanatic. And I wasn't completely oil-free at that time. I was using some olive oil, but I decided I would experiment on myself. This was like 15 years ago. And so for 6 months, I just lived my life as I always had. But when I would have formerly used a little bit of olive oil, I used some coconut oil. And my perfect vegan cholesterol went up in 6 months, almost to being a real American. And 6 months without it, back down. So, you know, I put my own life on the line to do a coconut oil experiment. And it's so frustrating when people get carried away by these claims of this is healthy. What do you do with that?
It's important to understand that coconut oil, I mean, you can see it. If it's a fat that is solid at room temperature, that's a sign it's very high in saturated fat. By the way, here's the tip. If it is liquid at room temperature or in your fridge, that is high in polyunsaturates. If it is liquid on the shelf, but solid in the refrigerator, that's olive oil, for example, that's a sign it's high in monounsaturates. You don't need a laboratory. You can see what kind of fat it is. But I'm sorry, coconut oil, if it were any worse, it would be Vaseline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just so glad you're getting that out there because, you know, some fats are better than others. Okay, now salmon, that's going to get us into the whole animal realm, which probably most listeners to this podcast already oppose. But there's so much hype about how great it is. What do we do with that?
Well, this is something we see in our research studies all the time. A person goes to the store and they get some Atlantic salmon. It's wild caught. It's got to be the best possible thing. And they discover their weight loss stops cold. They're just not losing weight anymore. How can that be? I'm eating salmon. They told me I should eat this, da, 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 da. Why am I not losing weight? The reason you're losing weight is you look it up. Atlantic salmon turns out to be 40% fat. If it's Chinook salmon, it's 50% or even a little bit higher than that. So, and then you think, okay, now that's why they said to eat it, because it's good fat. It's a boatload of it. And every fat gram has 9 calories. So yes, it will fill you up, but it's not going to fill you up with fiber. It doesn't have any at all. It's not going to fill you up with complex carbs. It is zero there. When it fills you up, it is filling you up with this big glob of fat. And by the time you get full, you've eaten a huge amount of calories. So we see so many frustrated people who have been doing the fish thing, hoping that was going to help, and they really run into trouble with it.
This is interesting, Dr. Barnard, because when I was on Weight Watchers back in the dark ages, they used to make everybody eat fish 5 times a week. That was like, you know, the sacrament. You had to do it. But they didn't allow salmon. And I hadn't even thought about that in all these years, but very interesting. Oh my. And throw in some goat cheese while we're here that people think are good that aren't.
Well, all the cheeses. Americans eat 70,000 calories worth of cheese every single year. Cheese is about 70% fat, mostly saturated fat. So it's a huge problem. And then goat cheese, it sounds kind of romantic because it's at a smaller farm out on the edge of town. It has all the ethical issues that you have with cow cheese from a cow, a dairy from a cow. Obviously, the offspring are killed. The male offspring are killed. The females are raised in isolation until they're old enough to be artificially inseminated. It's all a creepy thing. And then, but part of the reason that people think maybe goat cheese is better is because it is a little creamier. It's a little higher in saturated fat than the cow variety. So really skip it. But I don't want people to think that all foods are terrible. There's plenty of foods that are really interesting. When I was a kid,
tell us interesting.
When I was a kid, there was a Mexican restaurant in the town of Fargo, North Dakota, where I grew up in, and I discovered the jalapeno. And I thought, gee, this really kind of burns your tongue a little bit, but it tastes good. Well, researchers discovered that jalapenos will make you sweat a little bit sometimes, but what they are actually doing is they are triggering thermogenesis. You have a capacity to raise your body temperature based on foods that you eat, which by the way, cold-blooded animals can't do. That crocodile envies you because he has to lie in the sun to get his temperature up, but you can do this all on your own. So if you're eating foods, thermogenesis will raise your body temperature, but jalapenos and all hot peppers will kick in a little extra thermogenesis. And what that means to a person who wants to get rid of calories is you're burning calories faster for about an hour after the meal. Now, you might think, if I don't want to burn my tongue, can I do this with a bell pepper? And the answer is bell peppers have vitamin C and they've got fiber, but they do not trigger thermogenesis. I'm sorry to say. It's the picante part that does it. Ginger will do a little bit of the same kind of thing. So you put those into your foods and you get a little benefit.
I love it. So the tastier, the better. So Shanae, let's talk a little bit of specifics because everybody loves to hear about food. So what specific changes did you make? What changes came first and what changes have you found most effective on your journey?
I would say the changes that came first, you know, when it comes to food is really, you know, me experimenting and exploring and just being open to discovering, you know, just new foods, if I'm honest. I really started to, you know, just kind of look at my plate and say, I'm going to try to fill half my plate with, you know, mostly vegetables. That's kind of where I started. It's trying to increase and get more of those on my plate. And then everything else I would try to just, you know, decrease, especially since I, you know, am a former meat eater. And so those are the things I just started to kind of decrease the portion size. And as I started noticing just feeling better and just more energy alertness, of course, the weight coming off, I started doing a deeper dive into, you know, this connection, like, how is this happening? How is this possible? I need to know more. And then also as my numbers from, you know, doing my physicals every year got better, my doctor even asked me, like, what are you doing? I knew that there was something there. And so that's when I decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this 100% and see where it leads me. You know, not only having reversed, you know, chronic issues that I was dealing with, but also having lost and, you know, shed that 100 pounds and have been able to keep it off. And so I would say in the beginning, it started just little changes, trying to get half my plate with at least, you know, 50% fruits and vegetables.
That's where we start. And then we end up with stories to tell, which is pretty cool. So I just wanted to ask Shanae, and then we'll take a little break. The people in your world, the people in your family, your friends, probably not eating this way. How did you deal with them?
So, yes, they're not, you know, there are not many of them that have decided to become 100% like me. But one of the things that I have done is just introduce them to different dishes that I've made. I love to cook. And sometimes I would just have them try something. I may not even tell them how I made it or what, but I'd have them taste it. I kid you not, they immediately love it. You know, I just came from my hometown, Kansas City, met a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, Kansas City is known for barbecue. And I grew up on plenty of that. And a bunch of my cousins, we got together and they had all these other little options, but I brought two plant-based dishes and I was like, I got to eat something. And I kid you not, the food that was gone, Victoria, were my dishes. Everything else that they cooked was still there, but my two dishes were gone. It was a bean salad And then I also made a kale salad, and they were completely gone. So I, you know, introduce these foods to people in subtle ways. I don't, you know, bash them or anything. Just try to show them what's possible and just how good eating this way is.
Yeah. Well, I'm also from Kansas City, and it's become such a great town for plant-based eating. You know, the only Cafe Gratitude outside California, and all kinds of wonderful food and a great conference every fall they have there, the Whole Planet Spirituality Conference. So yeah, this is the way of things and the way of the world. But while we're talking on family, I just want to ask you, Dr. Barnard, what about if somebody is doing this and they really want to change their diet and they're all excited and their spouse, who maybe needs it as much as they do, is just not interested? Any advice?
Happens all the time. And we see that here in our clinic at Barnard Medical Center and in our research studies. And it really is true that if somebody will share this with you, it makes life so much easier because they're kind of going to be with you during a moment of weakness and you'll support them too. And if they get in your way, that's not so hot either. So what we always do is try to get the spouse, the partner, whoever it is, whoever they're eating with, it could be a parent or it could be a child, whoever they share meals with, to come in to at least hear some of the information about how it works, because very often something will go off in their head. They'll take it from the authority when they wouldn't have taken it from their own family member. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, let's say they just don't want to go there at all. It's important to have at least a short conversation and say, this is important to me, and I'd love it if you would support me. Maybe try this with me if you'd like for a little while, or at a minimum, please don't tease me and please don't dangle food in front of me because I don't want to get tempted by it. Would that be okay? And if you have to, maintain a separate shelf in the fridge or separate shelf. And what you'll very often see is we have support groups for our people in our research studies, and we invite the spouses and stuff to come in. And very often they get into it. But the other thing you could do is kind of what Shawnee was saying. You know, I've got brownies in here. You can make extra brownies. And you don't have to tell them that there's black beans in the brownies and there's blueberries in the brownies. You just make extra. You share it with them. And if it's dinner time, make my penne arrabbiata. You know, arrabbiata is Italian for angry. It just means spicy. Make extra. They are going to eat it. Don't say, this is my vegan pasta. They'll think, oh, I don't want it. It's got some veg in it. They think it's something from outer space. Just, you know, make it really cool. I've got a Southwest chili that is just fabulous. Make extra. And eventually they're going to think, this is cool. And if you have captured the control of the kitchen sufficiently, they're going to start losing weight and they're going to have you to thank.
I love it. So healthifying America, we'll just stop on that. Take a little break. We'll be right back with the lovely Shawnee Hayes and the brilliant Neil Barnard. Stay with us. Welcome back. Thanks again for being part of the Main Street Vegan family. Want to give you a little heads up on some things that are happening over here at Main Street Vegan. The absolutely biggest thing is that someone new has joined our team. Carlos Garcia is a great activist, and he's come out from California to spend 3 months here in New York to get us going on raising the development money for Miss Liberty. And that is our feature film about a cow who escapes from a slaughterhouse and the human drama that ensues. And I'm so excited because when we get enough of this development money, we can name the actors. We can attach officially these actors that have expressed interest. And they're such good names that I can hardly wait until I can state them publicly. But we're getting started on that. And if you're unfamiliar with Miss Liberty and just want to get on the mailing list and get updates about what is happening with her, that's her name. It's the name of the movie, and it's also the name of the cow. You can go to MissLibertyTheMovie.com, and our only social media yet is on X, and there it's Miss Liberty Film. But please check it out, the website, the X, and keep listening, and I'll let you know as things proceed how we do. Okay, let us get back to the business at hand. And the business at hand is losing weight blissfully on a power foods diet. And that is the latest book from New York Times bestselling author Neil Barnard, MD. And we're also joined by Shawnee Hayes, who has proved that this thing works and works beautifully and brilliantly. You can find out more about her at theshawneelife.com. She's also The Shawnee Life on Facebook, and we will put all of everybody's websites and social media and link to the book and all that in the show notes at mainstreetvegan.com. So, Dr. Barnard, you talked a little bit about the whole Ozempic thing a little bit earlier, but I find it disturbing as a kid whose dad was a diet doctor, and I was given a lot of drugs growing up to keep me from being fat, but I was still fat. And I thought we had gotten past the diet drug era. And here we are in it in a whole other way with more people excited about it than ever. And my understanding is that you only lose, I don't know, 12 pounds or something. Just break it down for us and tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay. The first thing that should be said is these new drugs that people are excited about, they're designed to mimic something your body does on its own. In your intestinal tract, your digestive tract responds to food that's coming down by releasing a natural compound called GLP-1, which goes up through the bloodstream to your brain and says to your brain, I've just eaten some food. Yeah, I'm digesting it now. So you can turn down your hunger, and it just turns down your appetite. That's its job. They can't market that. They can't patent it because it's natural. You've got it in your blood. And certain foods turn it on and others don't. So what Novo Nordisk does instead is they make a synthetic analog, or they'll call it a GLP-1 agonist, that goes to the brain and turns on your appetite. And the cost is $15,600 for a year. It's a typical cost nowadays. So it does cause weight loss. I mean, it causes a significant amount of weight loss. Along with it comes some side effects. Most people feel nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Gallbladder disease can occur. Pancreatitis has been reported. But people do lose weight with it. However, your weight loss will plateau and it's going to stop. And from that point on, all you're doing is paying to keep from regaining the weight. So next year, another 15 grand, the next year, 15 grand, next year, 15 grand, because when you stop, the weight comes back. And so the doctor prescribing it will say, well, didn't I tell you? You have to be on this for the rest of your life. Now, the weight loss that you see corresponds not particularly favorably, but maybe at its best, about the same between people who follow, if you can compare an omnivore, career omnivore, to a career vegan, the difference is about the same. So what we're thinking is, what does a plant-based diet do? And my research colleague, Dr. Hanna Kaliova, here at the Physicians Committee, did an amazing study. She brought in people, gave them a meat meal, measured the GLP-1 in their blood. Nothing. It doesn't really trigger it. Did the same study again, plant-based meal, high in fiber, high in complex carbohydrates with some plant protein. And the GLP-1 in their blood went right up, zing, like a medication. And so the point is, this is what nature will do for you. But if you're not eating the right foods, you're never getting it, except you've got to go to CVS and cash in a prescription and try to figure out how to pay for it. And it's really, really unfortunate. And perhaps the most unfortunate thing is we tell lies to people. By we, I mean the medical profession. We say this problem is all genetic. And the only way to deal with it is with a pharmaceutical. Now, there are genes for weight. But the big issue here is mostly about food choices. We don't just give our kids DNA. We give them recipes and ideas about foods that unknowingly can hurt them and set them back. And if we use the right foods, we can get our appetite control back.
Wow. And when people say blueberries are expensive, you can get a lot of blueberries for $15,000. Almost a lifetime supply.
Well, Victoria, yes, not only that, we actually published in JAMA Network Open a study of how much it costs just to buy the foods. We brought in 244 people. Half of them we asked to follow a low-fat vegan diet, the other half keep on the diet they're on. And we kept their food receipts from when they went shopping. And what we discovered is that going on the plant-based diet, you do spend more on vegetables, more on fruit, maybe more on beans, but you spend a whole lot less on meat and cheese. I mean, you're not buying these things at all. And so the average nets out to be about a 16% reduction in your food costs, which would be about $500 a year. So instead of paying $15,000, you're saving about $500 a year with healthy foods. And that's important because I'm actually encouraging people to eat well. I said, buy blueberries. And I am not going to encourage you to just go into the store and get the first cheap carton of blueberries you see. I want you to look at them, make sure they are plump and recent and fresh. And I would suggest getting them organic. And that'll add a little bit of money to it. Why am I saying that? Because if pesticides are sprayed onto an orange, well, you threw the orange peel away. But you're not peeling your blueberries. You're washing them, but you know, get the organic ones. Oh, by the way, one more tip. Don't wash them. Don't wash them. And don't leave them on your shelf. Stick them in the refrigerator. They are going to stay nice and fresh there. And then just before you use them, that's the time to wash them. Wash them thoroughly then, because otherwise, if you wash them when you buy them, you're going to have little bits of moisture that's going to cause a bit of mold to start growing, and that's not good. And same thing with cinnamon. You go in the store, don't just grab the first cinnamon thing you see. It might say Saigon cinnamon, Indonesian cinnamon. That's not what I want. Those are fine. They taste great. But the one you want is Ceylon cinnamon. And buy that, or it's a little milder. It's safer when you have a lot of it. And get that organic too. So you've got, even if you buy these things organically, you're still going to save money in the long run.
Well, it's all good. You know, I think sometimes the way we eat and live is so great. I kind of wish it weren't quite so good, because we start telling people it does this and it does this. And oh, by the way, it's going to help save the planet. They're just like, yeah, right. More pipe dreams, but it's not. And that's as you, Shanae, can absolutely show and tell. So you are really excited about educating people about this work. Tell us a little bit about that.
I absolutely am, you know, just kind of being able to experience, you know, this transformative journey and just changing my life just really led me to want to get this information out there and tell other people about it. I'm like, if these foods can do this for me after, you know, being someone who has dieted for decades, then I absolutely know that they will be effective for other people. And so, you know, that led me to, you know, pursue a certification as a health coach. It led me to become a Food for Life instructor, you know, through the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And, you know, I have been on a roll just educating people and just teaching them how to eat healthier, how to incorporate these foods easily, Victoria, you know, into meals, because a lot of times they think that it's difficult or that it's hard or that they get overwhelmed, but it absolutely is not. And so very passionate about this work and just love teaching and helping to educate, change and save lives.
Ah, well, cycling back to our opening, that sounds like you have found your purpose. And Dr. Bernard, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about that, because one thing that I see that's unique about you among all of our wonderful plant-based physicians is you seem to be as committed about the rights of animals, about getting them out of classrooms and laboratories, as you are about the other aspect of this lifestyle, which is a healthy way for humans to live. So how do you balance that? Do you ever feel that maybe you're not taken as seriously because it is known that you also care about animals? Tell us how you juxtapose that.
The practice of medicine is not all about making sure that your prescription pad is used busily and that you're billing lots of people. The practice of medicine is founded on ethics. And Hippocrates said, first, do no harm. And he didn't say, do no harm to those people who look like you or living in your neighborhood or whatever. He said, do no harm. And as time has gone on, I've been struck by the fact that life is very short. Suffering is vast. luckily, we have a huge army that can deal with these things, but we have to be smart and we have to work as well as we can. And so whether that's dealing with the issues that come into our clinic or dealing with the broader community that we serve, and maybe people who didn't know that they could come into a clinic, or that foods properly chosen could save them and save their family from a whole lot of misery. My feeling is that we should attend to these things. I spent the first half of my life with a shotgun, and I killed animals that would fly over, the ducks and the geese coming out of Canada, going over North Dakota. We hunted when we were kids. I drove cattle to slaughter with my uncle. That was the family business. And later on, I started to think a little more deeply about these things and realized that there was another way that was so much better. So my own thought is, as I said, I think life is short, suffering is vast. Let's do what we can to fix it. But why dwell in misery? This work is fun. What are we doing? We're building things. We're eating French toast. To be compassionate is not miserable. It's a wonderful feeling. But I do work hard. And if you've got a little time left, heck, write some music, record an album, have some fun. So that's my philosophy. So I'm hoping that we can have fun, but we never forget our purpose.
Well, you are totally a Renaissance man. The whole musician thing is wonderful. I've seen you perform a couple of times, and you're just, you're born to be a rock star, but you're also a rock star for people, for animals, and for people who go to your concerts. So thanks so much to both of you. So everybody, just to keep track of these wonderful people, theshawneelife.com for Shawnee Hayes, and she's also got her spice company. You want to check all that out. And Dr. Barnard's latest book, Power Foods Diet, and of course, PCRM.org, where they just have incredible things going on. And I have to say that even though the print magazine is kind of, going the way of the dinosaur in the next few years, I guess, Good Medicine magazine, whenever it shows up in my mailbox from PCRM, I just know I'm going to make myself some of that ginger tea and I'm going to sit down and read every single article. Every victory, every scientific advancement, it's just the best journalism going. And certainly there are a million reasons to become a member of PCRM, and that magazine is one of them. So thanks so much to you both. Thanks to everybody for listening. Now let's just go out there and make Main Street vegan.
Thanks for listening. Find out more about today's episode at mainstreetvegan.com, where you can also learn how to take your vegan or plant-based outreach to the professional level through Main Street Vegan Academy, and join our inner circle at the Main Street Vegan Podcast Listeners Group on Facebook. See you next time.
Are you ready to ignite your best life and illuminate the world? I'm Stephanie James. I'm a motivational speaker, transformation coach, and psychotherapist. And what lights me up is helping people just like you create the greatest versions of themselves. On my podcast, Igniting the Spark, I will help you ignite your joy and reach new heights in your personal and professional life. Join me for some incredible conversations with authors, spiritual teachers, and other influential thought leaders to help guide you on your way. If you are ready to stop playing small, join me for Igniting the Spark on the mindbodyspirit.fm network or wherever you get your podcasts, and ignite your best life.